Oh my god. The dude, is coursing through my body. Hello, welcome to Debatable, a fake television show brought to you by Corona, where we debate nothing. Mina Kimes down below. Hello, Mina. Dominic Foxworth over there. Yeah, I did it correctly, even though it's 11:32 p.m. What a game! Can I say that unironically? Yeah. Like, what a goddamn
game. Y'all get damned in this. Good game, yeah. Working bad. Wow. I guess the Eastern Conference Finals was I don't know if it was good, but it was close at the end.
This game wasn't felt close. Good yeah, right. Like I want to debate the notion of how good this game was.
You don't think this game was good?
No, it was good in that like it was things we've never seen in terms of, you know, what the Warriors did at the beginning and in the third quarter and what the Celtics did in the fourth. And it was very much so a game of runs, and it was a really cool game to see role players doing crazy things and all of that. But for me, by my definition, a truly great game is one that comes down to the end. I don't know. See, that's how I am. No.
I know what you're doing. You changed it. Pablo said good game. I said good game. And then you said it wasn't a great game. No one said it was a great game. Neither of us said it was a great game.
Can I point out what's really happening?
A high level basketball game that I enjoyed throughout. It was close most of the time and it was fun.
We're also grading on a curve, which is most of the games have been solid C's. So even this game, which maybe, you know, in another time would be a B, feels a little more like an A minus.
I just want to point out that Mina should get an F for tweeting this to our group chat.
Can you tweet to a group chat? What do you mean?
Texting this to our group chat. Sorry. This is Mina declaring the game.
Hey. That's profanity. That has profanity on it. So you should stop. It doesn't.
This is like in the third quarter.
He's not trustworthy.
This was like in the third quarter. And Mina said that this was all over for the
Celtics. I am notorious for sending this is over tweets and texts multiple times during every game that are instantly proven wrong. But I like to do it nonetheless.
Can we talk about how, like, my takeaway, big picture, I suppose, beyond the fact that it was, like, a solid A-minus, I would say, in terms of quality. It was the fact that we were sold defense. This is the two best defenses in the NBA. The Celtics, number one. The Warriors, number two. And the Celtics go on this run to make
like
that text
sweaty.
From Mina ridiculous looking, while Marcus Smart, the Defensive Player of the Year, is just on the bench.
Does caffeine make you sweat?
Jeez. Yeah, I can.
Hot.
Again. I'm oily, I'm sweaty, and yeah, Marcus Smart defense. Like, the reason the Celtics scored 40 and the Warriors scored 13, it was Derek White. Yeah. It was Peyton Pritchard. It was Al Horford, right? Yeah. Like, just taking
Meaning
over
Al
everything.
Horford third? How dare you?
The idea that Marcus Smart, we were sold for the last couple days. Marcus Smart is the Steph stopper. None of us bought what was being sold, but I at least expected him to guard him. Like they had everybody on Steph but Marcus Smart, it felt like throughout this game. And then in crunch time, the most important time, he wasn't even on the floor. Well, I guess they put him back in, he hit a shot, but I feel like when they pulled away, Marcus Smart was on the bench.
Yes.
Along those same lines, I would say, oh, wait, that was Jordan Poole. What the hell is happening right now? Like, we were told these, like, amazing defensive players would put on these amazing defensive performances. Do we feel that way about any of the players in this game?
I can't say that we saw amazing defensive performances, but I thought at times we didn't see it as full. Game amazing defensive performance, but there were possessions where I thought that the Celtics in particular were outstanding on defense, especially as the game started close.
That's true.
Partially Warriors' fault, because we talk about how they play this beautiful game and no one plays like this.
Yes.
The end of the game, they were running ISO and high pick and roll. They was doing the same shit everybody else does, and it didn't work, just like it doesn't work when anyone does that against the Celtics.
I thought the Celtics defense too, team defense at the end of the second quarter, when they actually managed to slow things down and bring it to a tie, was really impressive on that final possession. Just when the Warriors had, I think they had like 22 seconds left with the ball, and the fact that they were forced into a terrible shot with all of their movement, it was such a tribute to the Celtics' switchability and style of play.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Celtics ended up shooting like 50% from the field, and we should mention that they did that despite Jason Tatum laying a dinosaur egg. Dominique, I believe we've established on this program that you're allowed one egg per series if you're him,
yeah.
capital H, to again blaspheme the Lord. If you are him, as Jason Tatum is alleged to be, you can't go 3 for 17 for 12 points, man.
Right at the bottom, though? 13 assists.
Yeah, thanks to Jaylen Brown and Al Horford and everybody else he just swung the ball to because he didn't want to do anything.
He wanted to do things. He just couldn't do them.
Usually when you have like the superstar low scoring but high assists, like, oh, he's such a facilitator, a team effort game, the superstar is being like trapped or like forced into really difficult shots. Like Jason Tatum literally seemed uninterested in driving it. I found it very confusing overall, even though obviously – his abilities as a playmaker played, and as a facilitator, rather, played a large part in why they won.
And his defense, told you, Pablo.
Are we doing this?
No, I draw the line, right? Well, I don't draw the line anywhere, but I feel like we should take it out, okay? You've made your point.
He should be drawing a line that is a lot further down from where his line is, because for the podcast audience, what you're missing is the Derek White slideshow of hairline photographs. This man's... is what did all of that to you, Golden State. A dynasty was toppled by this non-line.
Oh, have you learned?
Ironically,
dynasty after game one. Go ahead, Mina.
I was going to say, ironically, through positive regression in his case and in the actual game. So I think you got to give him some love for basically. What are you shaking your head at?
I'm just marveling at how it is that we can plausibly sing the praises of Derek White. Like, I did not expect this. I did not expect this to be our post-game show. Derek White, yes, having 21 on 6-for-10 shooting as Klay Thompson and our man's Jordan Poole goes combined 7-for-20 from the field. What a game.
Al Horford made the most threes, not in a playoff game, but in his entire freaking career. And Dominique, I saw you tweeting about his shot. It looks like absolute nonsense leaving his hand sometimes. Unbelievable. I don't even know.
He shoots like that robot that they built in China that shoots threes. Have you seen that video where it's just like, yeah, catapulted?
Oh, we lost him. Big Al Horford's come for Dominique, apparently. He looks like kind of one of those like lamps where there's like, it kind of arches out and then drapes forward, you know, that you put in like a living room when you want like light over the reading area. I've been shopping for lamps on West Elm.
Have one of those lamps. I have one of them. Mid-century modern. Al Horford mid-century modern.
Let me throw out a question for you. Is this more... This is such a TBA block question.
Do it.
Is this more about Boston's offensive success or the Warriors' total collapse in the fourth quarter to you?
To me, it was just about the Celtics hitting all those shots. Alabaster, give me the numbers of how many
open shots. Open shots, right? I mean,
yeah, I want to say, I mean, look, the Warriors should not feel good about this, right? They did fall apart and they collapsed, but the sheer rate at which the Celtics started hitting everything, they shot 9 for 11 from three in the fourth quarter. They outshot the Golden State Warriors from three, and it wasn't close. And the thing about like Al Horford and all of these guys, like, we started this game, Mina. Part of the reason why I didn't immediately reject your hypothesis that this shit is over is because we were watching Steph Curry. We were watching the most beautiful shot maker in NBA history do all of those things. And at the end, we celebrate the mud that they got dragged into.
They did, but kind of not. Okay. If you had asked me before this game, how did the Celtics win? What I would have said, the mud. Like, this is a game that, you know, it gets slowed in transition. It's played in the half court. The Celtics' beautiful defense overpowers the Warriors' beautiful offense. Jason Tatum has a big game. None of those things happened.
Correct.
Literally none of those things happened. Like, the Celtics didn't so much drag the Warriors into the mud as they did a feasible impression of the Warriors themselves. And I think that is something that not a single soul on earth predicted.
Yeah, I mean, that is fair. I mean, but when the game was starting, right, and we got that sound of Marcus Smart being like, this isn't the Heat series, right? We can't play that way. On one level, he was right. It just went to a level that was, beyond any of our predictions. Alabaster, You're interjecting here. What do you have to say?
Well, I think we're tiptoeing around something that's really interesting, and that's the fact that, yes, the Celtics got this win in game one. They stole one on the road. Their role players showed up. But in certain ways, what the Warriors did tonight seems like a more sustainable path for success. Like, they were getting switches. Steph Curry was creating shots. They were creating good offense throughout the entire game. And, like, yes, the Celtics are also a strength in numbers team. Yes, the Celtics were playing solid defense. But you cannot expect this to happen again from Derek White, Al Horford, right, and on 9/11, and on.
9/11 is not going to happen again.
That's the question, right? When we praise, that's, and Dominic, me, I can hear him creeping back in the background.
I'm here.
When we praise the Celtics, right, all postseason, who do we praise? We praise their defense. We praise guys like Grant Williams, that orc of a man. Like, he didn't factor into this. We praised Rob Williams in those later games of the Heat series as he looked like the best player on the Celtics defense. He was a total non-factor as they went, again, in this offensive mode at the end of the game. Jason Tatum is the guy who we claimed, and I think that rightfully, that he assassinated Kevin Durant and Giannis. Like, he was the guy. He was the point of the attack, and none of that stuff was what mattered. And so did the Warriors figure out something here? I mean, it feels like they figured out that they need to respect Derek White and Al Horford from three. But I don't know, in terms of like how differently they play next game, Alabaster. Yeah, I don't.
I would not play differently at all if I were them, because Alabaster is uncharacteristically correct. Like, what the Celtics accomplished tonight is far more likely to recur. However, Jason Tatum is unlikely to shoot as poorly as he did tonight, so you can throw that as well in defense of Boston. And, you know, I think all of us have thought or said that we expect this to be a close matchup. So I don't think, like, you can come away from tonight with any massive conclusions that either team has a significant edge going forward, because the ways in which they succeeded, while unsustainable, will be countered by normal things happening for both teams next time.
And you don't think the shooting in particular is what you mean? Like, the 3-point shooting from the Celtics is the part that's unsustainable, and the general impressiveness of the role players? Because, like, you expect the stars to show up, right? It's game one, everyone else is nervous, and the role players on the road. Like, that's the story that we've been told. Has anyone ever looked into that? Is that true? I always hear, like, role players don't show up on the road. Are there, like, numbers that support that? Because I feel like in these playoffs, it's been like three times where the role players did show up on the road.
Well, Boston's been so unbelievably good on the road that probably you're right, it has. Right. But also, like, the Warriors role players were really good. Yeah. I mean, like, Kevon Looney was so impressive in this game. Otto Porter was amazing. Jordan Poole, that's amazing. But we can talk about that. But I kind of think all of the things are going to happen again, minus the historic 3-point shooting from Boston.
Hold on, I got to push back on that a tiny bit. And that's that Jordan Poole and Draymond Green were really bad in this game.
Well, I said should Poole shoot. Was bad.
Yeah, she said
okay,
that.
Sorry, I misheard you. Apologies. Playing defense on the show.
No, but you're right. But we got to talk about Draymond, right? Because at one point
we should
in this
talk
game,
about Draymond.
Yeah, talk about Draymond.
No, I mean, at one point in this game, we celebrated Dominique, right? Like, that he had, what was it? He was like, he was leading the team in plus minus, but had like 1-for-12. Has his stat line from the field.
Yeah.
And the thing about him as the orchestrator of the conductor of the orchestra, right? Like, man, when it works, he looks like he is the genius that you can't quantify. When they can't score, it looked like they should be off the floor.
Yeah, I've never quite understood what a conductor actually does, because, like, everything is on the sheet of music, ain't it? Like, the tempo's on, the notes are on. We don't need a dude with a stick in front of you telling you to play the stuff that we already know how to play.
But he's kind of like you, like flutes play stronger.
But hold on,
Nina. Amp it up. You, cellos,
that's
less of you.
That's on the sheet. It's on the sheet. If you can count music and play music, you don't need the conductor. Like,
So Dominique, I didn't expect to get shots fired at this rate at conductors, but you're sort of saying that a conductor is kind of like a DJ in the sense that you can sort of stand up there and your hand gestures are kind of most of the job.
No, DJs
aren't really doing a ton.
DJs do more, and train conductors, greater conductors than music conductors, to be clear. So if you're calling Draymond a train conductor, I have more respect. You're calling him a music conductor, not much respect. He started shooting, and I was confused.
There were a lot of shots. That's like, the thing of
why?
Like being 1-for-12 or whatever it was.
Like, you don't expect people who haven't been there before to be out of character. Yeah. But Draymond gets at an emotional state that we all recognize adds some value to the team, but also comes with some risk. But I was confused at why all of a sudden he chose this as the game where he was going to like make points. It didn't make sense to me. Like, he shot a big three towards the end of the game with time still on the shot clock. What is you doing? Like, that's not you. It just didn't make sense to me while they were so uncharacteristic. And my last Draymond point is, why all his fouls feel like they got a little extra? Like, dude, every time he fouls somebody, it's like...
Because they do.
I hate it. It annoys me. I'm sorry.
Valdez here. Yeah, to play some offense.
No, to back up your point, Dominique, Draymond took the most threes he's taken all season tonight. So, like, he went finals Draymond, the guy who has scored 25 and 32 points in the finals. But not tonight. Tonight he couldn't buy one of those.
He was mad that Steph was about to get the MVP. He was like, nah, not today. Either we lose or I get the MVP.
It really felt like in the first quarter, this is going to be one of the signature games of Steph Curry's entire career.
And then he went scoreless in the second quarter.
And then from
there, I mean, yeah, and there were, you know, he had some moves, man. Like, Steph, I'm not worried about Steph. I'm really not. I'm not worried about Steph.
Why not?
What I am.
He was good. He played well. I mean, I hope he doesn't get dragged into Steph Curry legacy conversations tomorrow on the shows. Because literally,
Mayna,
what
you
what?
Know better. You, I mean, I guess you can hope, but you know that that's what's gonna happen, Mayna. You've been around this business long enough. That's exactly what's gonna happen. Is people's, and I mean, Steph shot incredibly well early, and then they were closing out better. Then he started passing, giving people open shots.
Right.
On the defensive end of the floor, though, like, they were targeting him, and I was surprised. I'm not going to pretend like I'm some sort of basketball tactician, but they were switching, which Golden State didn't switch last round. Why in the hell are they going to start switching on defense and allow – Tatum didn't capitalize on it, but they allowed Tatum to get isolated on Steph and, like, with ease. Like, they didn't hedge or drop. Like, they didn't do the things that they had been doing in the past, and it just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Alabaster, what is your take on Steph as a sort of self-styled basketball nerd? I'm curious about your opinion as to how he played in this game.
I mean, I think that, like, Steph was awesome. I think without Steph in that game, it's probably the Celtics wire to wire. And I think it's, like, fair to give Udoka some credit because they played too much drop coverage, as people were pointing out on Twitter early in the game, and they switched it up. I mean, Robert Williams giving way less airspace on switches. And also, it wasn't just closing out. They're playing box and ones, different zones, giving him different looks that made, like, every shot more
nerd it up.
Difficult.
Yes, the brilliant adjustment of not playing drop coverage against Steph Curry. Real galaxy brain stuff there.
Gosh.
I don't know what they were doing in the first quarter. I was so confused by the amount of room that we're getting.
So,
if you are doing spin for the Warriors off of this game, I think it is basically about the Celtics don't seem to have a plan for Steph. Like, if Marcus Smart, if they're going to do the thing where they actually play a lot more Derek Williams over Marcus Smart, I truly don't even know how they're going to start to defend Steph Curry in terms of effectively trying to take away what he does well.
And stop it.
Oh, my God.
You
yes.
stop it. I hate yes. it so much.
It's ridiculous. It's the worst hairline in the NBA, and I didn't know about this until our group chat started talking about it during the game. The headband does so much work for him.
I got nervous in the last game when he got hurt and you saw the nurse starting to take the headband down. And I was like, camera, move. This
the
man
Phantom
does not
of the Opera.
Protect him. Put a blue tent over
but,
him.
This...
No, I think, I mean, I guess my question is, like, do you think they will? This, obviously in this game, Boston's
put it back, put it back.
Lightning.
I want to know, drop coverage on Steph Curry?
No, don't do it.
Is that a worse move than his barber saying, nah, let's grow out the back?
He's playing drop coverage on his own hairline.
That is definitely a strong cover one, single high, press coverage on the outside. It's unfortunate. That safety better be Ed Reed because he got a lot of ground to cover. And you drew me into this. I was, to be clear, in the group chat, I didn't put the picture up, and I asked us not to show the picture at all. And somehow, the comedy took over. I'm sorry.
These are facts. It's not even comedy. These are just observations. These are journalistic observations.
It's not a fact that there's a safety in the middle of his head. That's not a fact. Take it down, Alabaster, please.
Disagree.
Back to the basketball. You talked about the fact that Marcus Smart. I mean, I think this is a thing we should really focus on, the amount of time Marcus spent on the bench. It's, Dominique, you mentioned, pretty significant compared to what the expectations were. Do you think, though, that like for Boston, obviously, once they realized they caught lightning in a bottle with the offense, that was the move. But do you think they go into the next one with that same expectation? Because I'm not so sure.
They didn't start with Marcus Smart on Steph Curry. So, like, it's I see what you're saying. Like, if they're going to go, no. I mean, I don't think they start. I think they probably go to their offensive lineup sooner and see if it still works. But, I mean, honestly, like, this is a throwaway game for them. I hate to say it. Like, I'm sure they want to win. But I don't imagine, like, this is going to be a feel-out game, which normally is game one. I don't imagine that they try anything significantly different than they did this game. They just cross their fingers and hope that they hit shots like they did.
Can we, if Marcus Smart, though, was like, a Steph Curry-level celebrity, this is what the conversation would be like on all of the shows tomorrow. It's the idea that Marcus Smart is the most overrated player in the NBA.
We're not doing that
there,
either.
No, there's I mean, and I say that because there is a really plausible argument.
People already think he is.
Well, but I think it would be louder because you could argue that he is like the fourth or fifth best defender on the Celtics.
But
you could argue that when he has sat, when he missed that game against the Heat, the Celtics defense was still incredible. There's an argument that they don't need him in their defensive scheme. And if Derek White is going to be a guy who can actually make shots and Marcus Smart is definitely not the guy you want to take those shots, you can argue that Celtics actually play a better version of themselves when he's not there.
I demand that Marcus Smart gets Draymond points. Like, he offers things.
Conductor points?
He offers things to this team that don't show up on the stat sheet. One of them is like the emotional stuff that I'm sure is where everyone's mind goes to first. But the other one is handling the ball. Like, they don't have a true point guard. He plays point guard.
Yes.
He handles the ball better than are you trying to tell me that White?
I handle the ball better than Jaylen Brown. Yes. Just kidding. I don't. Nobody used that. Nobody activated.
Yeah, it needed to be said, though. It was your responsibility.
No. Jaylen Brown, he handles the ball the way Pablo handles a take. Like, any second, that ball's going, like, it is leaving his hand and flying into a
fan's
face.
And then mere seconds later, I am bailing out my bum-ass teammates by going on an incredible offensive run, which is exactly what he did to save Jason Tatum's ass.
He was amazing. We've gone this far, approximately 22 minutes, without saying Jaylen Brown's name. He was incredible at the end. Especially
in the fourth quarter.
Tatum.
Oh, my God. No, he was. I mean, I love the idea that we now have an actual series, though. I really am.
Because the road team won?
This. Exactly right, Dominique. Yeah. The series has begun.
Begun. I agree. If the Warriors had won this, I think we would have all felt like, especially what we saw in the first quarter had persisted. This, as much as I besmirched the quality of the game, or at least the notion that it's a great game, at the beginning of this, it did set up for a significantly better series, and for that, I am deeply grateful, because I do think we are going to get some great games.
Yes, no, the question, Dominique, the question was, like, the Celtics are full of guys that have never played in a finals before. The Warriors are overflowing with experience. How much poopy butt was the phrase we used yesterday? How much poopy butt is there going to be? Yes, royal we. How much poopy butt would the Celtics have? And it was the opposite.
I mean, the Celtics, they are a young team. Yes, they've never been to the finals, but like, this group has been to like a ton of conference finals. They had two game sevens against impressive and tough teams. Like, that wasn't, I understand why people were saying that, but that wasn't what I felt like. That wasn't a team I thought we were dealing with. Like, they just came off of two back-to-back game sevens, and one of them, the defending champs, the other one down in Miami against a very tough team, and Jimmy Butler that goes into game seven mode occasionally. Like, I didn't, and they've been in the two conference finals in the past. Like, I didn't think of this team as poopy butt potential. Why you got me saying that foolishness? You are.
Because it's accurate.
Infectious.
No, it is. It is. Such like the condition that we are describing.
Is that when people are like nervous, they poop? Is that a thing?
He has a has a baby. This is, or I guess she's a toddler now. This is all
very much still in that, pre-toilet training. Yeah.
So okay, on Around the Horn today, I picked Warriors in seven, and I picked them. I went through all the advantages that I felt Boston actually did have almost entirely in terms of their defense. But ultimately, I leaned Warriors for a few reasons. The fact that Robert Williams is banged up, and I think you did see that at times in this game. I didn't think that they would be able to defend them, you know, to their fullest extent. And then for me, the institutional experience, which was more like, less like, well, they've seen this all before, although I believe everyone when they say that matters in the finals, but more, Boston's really struggled in the clutch this postseason. Right. So the fact that they go into this game staring down the barrel of the fourth quarter, I think at around 9 minutes left, it was single digits, and then came out so dominant, that frankly does have me changing my mind a tiny bit, but that tiny bit is countered by the fact that there's no way Al Horford and Derek White put up the performances of their lives against.
Well, right? I mean, Al Horford.
Yeah, you know what, don't. The thing about Al Horford,
but he hit the most threes he's hit in his entire career.
I agree.
Well, I could assume that he won't hit as many. He might miss two, but Jason Tatum's going to make up that 6 points, I think. I think Al Horford's shots were open too. Like, they weren't contested. The late ones weren't contested. The one thing about the clutch time that interests me, and I guess technically clutch is the last 5 minutes, but it felt like the real clutch was that like middle of the fourth quarter run. Yeah. I saw Ime Udoka call timeouts when they clearly had the like momentum. And it was interesting to me because normally the opposing coach is the one who calls a timeout. Like, he called two timeouts where they were clearly in control of the game and they were going on a run. And I wonder if that speaks to like him recognizing that this team, whatever.
Means to like, hey, let's all take a breather. Like, yeah.
And that's normally what you want to do if your team is getting run out the gym. And I thought it was interesting. And I know one of them was like right before you lose your timeout. So he had to use, or he wanted to use it. But still, why would you stop that? But it made sense. Whatever he said to them, whatever he did that normally he doesn't do, I guess. And they get, I was going to say poopy pants again.
Yep.
No.
He managed to say whatever needed to be said, or do whatever.
That was when Marcus Smart was giving his, conducting.
Yes, he was calling on his first chair cello. But look, Marcus Smart doing the around the back thing for no reason.
Oh.
Just like, that's why you just call timeouts to make sure that isn't going to happen. It's like, guys, don't feel yourselves for no reason.
Where was Grant Williams? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
That's the name that I feel like smart basketball people, like, I think second degree smart basketball people are like, Robert Williams is the real best player. And then like there's another step and those people are like, Grant Williams is the real best player on their defense. Where the hell was he? Like, I don't know how many minutes he played, but it felt a lot less than I remember seeing him in the Heat series.
Well, he was so good in the Heat series. And I say that even after the fact that you said fake smart people say that Robert Williams is a meaningful player.
I didn't say fake
minutes
people.
After I said I expected people. The Robert Williams injury to effectively impact.
You also said I was Draymond, so.
That's a compliment.
It's not a compliment. You and I both know it's not a compliment if that man went 1-for-12 tonight.
In my defense, I said that to you in our chat before the game.
No, you tweeted it.
No, I said it in our chat before the game. Pablo, back me up.
She's been saying this on all platforms.
Oh, yeah. You know I'll be looking at my texts.
Very
Draymond
of you.
You also tweeted it. You tweeted it.
She did. Yeah.
You went public with that. It's clearly an insult, and that's fine. I forgive you.
It's called engagement. Learn about it.
I wonder how Draymond's going to pod about this game now that we mention him. Like, he has a podcast.
Right,
yeah, I was going to say, is Draymond podding right now? Is he going live? Because I'm actually fascinated as to his explanation as to how this happened.
I mean, he's going to be the next Charles Barkley. And I feel like Charles Barkley is known for being very irreverent and funny, which Draymond is also. But Charles Barkley is also known for like being a step behind where current basketball is. So maybe Draymond gets on and is critical because they didn't post up enough.
Alabaster, what do you
do? So, actually sort of interesting. Draymond is only 6 minutes behind this time. He just got off the podium, and what he said was that the Warriors dominated the first 42 minutes and that they'll be fine. And I think it's a kind of an interesting take because
it's also not true.
No, I mean, they didn't dominate the second quarter.
Yeah, they did not dominate the entire second quarter.
They dominated the first and third, and
So we're back to quarter counting. I like Draymond's out here. He's taking it the next step from quarter counting to minute counting. He's like, we won all the minutes except for the last minutes.
What this has revealed is just the incredible heat check it is to be a podcaster while you're making an NBA Finals run. Like, you're going to have to answer hard questions, and he hasn't really had to because the Warriors have been dominating. And now we're going to see the actual skill of Draymond Green as a political spin artist. Because that is what
you don't have to answer hard questions when you're on your own podcast.
Let me actually bring back the question that I think people do want the answer to, which is, where do you see the series going from here? I said I had Warriors in seven. Pet. I want to know what your guys' predictions were before the series and how you feel now.
I said Warriors in seven, but I agree with Dominique that you're kind of angling for like your own. Yeah.
You want a gold star? What do you want? You try to impress Alabaster? What he says is suggestions. We go out there and we run the plays. We want to run.
You know what I said earlier about grading on a curve? That's why I came back to do this show, because I needed to boost my grades a little bit with the folks around me. It's that curve, you know?
I'll answer your question because you are on the court with us. I picked the Celtics in seven on this particular platform. I'm going to stick with that one.
Wait. You couched that. You hedged that. What other platforms did you make picks?
I have been saying, ever since Phoenix lost, I've been saying the winner is coming from the East. And then the Celtics won, and I've been picking the Celtics in seven. I say in seven because I'm a coward like everyone else, and I want to give myself as much room as possible. But I went on Get Up, and I said Golden State on Get Up. But I didn't believe it. Greeny looked at me, and I could tell he wanted Golden State, so I gave it to him. Greeny loves the stars. Wait,
you wanted to be Mike Greenberg's teacher's pet?
Also.
No.
If you give a prediction here, this platform is the mistress to television's wife.
How dare you? How dare you slut shame Debatable? How dare you?
You're giving your real takes on linear, and I know you are.
No, I'm not.
I know we're getting.
No, what this is, what Debatable is the studio. It's the lab. It's where we all work things out live, transparently.
No, false. I'm not agree with any of that. This is the prime time for me. This is where I'm at. This is what it is. Everything else is in preparation for this. Like, I do a Friday show with Bomani. That's just to get ideas for this. I do Get Up every now and then. That's just to stir up stuff for Debatable. This is where I come with my realness.
This is a Draymond Green-esque motivational speech. This is that gif of Draymond going to Steph or KD. Come on this a million times. Yep, that one.
It's not. It's real. I will leave Get Up for you, Debatable. I already have.
Damn. I would. Well, you might
I
have
love
to this
leadership.
But I would like to note that I did listen to your podcast with Bomani, and I know that's where you got the take of comparing Bam Adebayo to Hakeem Olajuwon, and I'm glad that wasn't an original take from you. That one was a terrible take.
I've never compared Bam to Hakeem. Like, that's never come out of my mouth.
Firing shots all over the place.
Produce the tape where I compared Bam to Hakeem. That's outrageous. what I did, which I did not do on Bomani's podcast, was I said that my man Bam was a butter paint. Pablo produced that great term for me, is that he handles the ball quite well on the perimeter. Then he gets inside as if he is going to do something aggressive, and then he does a fadeaway.
Yep.
Butter paint.
A beautiful player except for the paint. Yeah.
Exactly. You get it, Mina.
I mean, it doesn't really make sense.
It does make sense.
It absolutely does.
It implies it's but her paint, but it's not whose paint. I mean, whatever. It's fine.
You know whose paint it is.
Teacher's pet.
All right, guys. We got some bonus tweets to end the show. Okay. First ones. Great. We have some comparisons of Pablo to Klay Thompson, and the photo evidence is just outstanding. This one comes from friend of the show, Spencer Hall, and it's just uncanny genes comparison.
Well, this came from me, by the way, generating content by pointing out that Dominique is the Draymond of the show, and then following up by say it's Pablo gracious. Is the Clay of the show, which I think we can all agree is true.
No.
I mean,
let's be clear. Pablo, I don't need any help right now. ISO me. We out here winning championships before you came, KD, and we're going to continue winning championships tomorrow after you are gone, Mina Durant.
I'm the KD.
After you return to Twitter.
It looked like you could use an isolation score tonight.
we used you, and we appreciated it, but we are going back to being light years ahead without you. We got a lot of young talent around here. Thanks for coming, KD. Glad we could give you a title and an MVP. But I'm going to go ahead and scoop me one real soon, maybe.
Damn right.
You just...
Draymond. The Celtics.
What? What are you doing? I'm not You're Draymond. Having...
Oh, Stop. Sorry. I forgot the what metaphor we were operating with.
You're Clay.
I'll accept He's that, Mark. Honestly.
I'm Steph.
Shout out to the tweeter who asked, is it because Pablo gets high in the morning and reads 10 newspapers, which is what Clay Thompson also does.
First one from Long Live the Queen, who said,
"You sound tired."
The last Celtics player to go full poopy pants in the finals was Paul Pierce. Well done, Queen.
Fine tradition. Long live the Queen. Well played.
You need to up your coffee intake. I don't know if you need diet dew, what you need, Alabaster, but. You don't got your midday energy. I want you to know that, coach.
Well, this last tweet is perfect for that because this one comes from VY and it says, Alabaster is the conductor of this show, which is why Dominique doesn't respect him.
I love you, Allie. You're the man. Thank you. Good show. Play the music, jerk.
It's me.
Ooh.
Bye, Corona.
Oh, shout out to Corona, our actual sponsor. We love you and appreciate you in ways that are fully sincere. Mina stayed up late, although not as late as us because we're on the East Coast. So, again, partial...
Yeah, Mina didn't stay up late.
Partial Kevin Durant style.